All Eyes on Fishing with Mitch Peterson, Josh Sheldon, and Brad Qualley, leading you to the next level.
Welcome back to All Eyes on Fishing. Over the last couple podcasts, we've talked about some things that we're doing now. The last one we talked about was Lindy Riggin and live bait presentations that Mitch does very well. So if you didn't listen to that one, make sure you go back and listen to that, because that's what you can do right now. But over the last couple podcasts, we've talked about things we're doing. And one of those things that Josh does, and he does it quite a bit this time of year, is, and this is from a boat application, but it's lead core. A lot of people are scared about lead core. They just don't get it. It's a crazy looking line. But we're going to go over some things that will help you when you're out on the water and how you can get more fish with lead core.
Right. The important thing to remember with lead core is don't be intimidated by it. It's a great tool. It's something you can use at all different times, including springtime or fall. I do really well with it in the fall, but it's a great way to get your baits down. And
away from the boat.
And away from the boat. And the thing about lead core is a little bit slower getting it out. It's a little bit slower sinking than, let's say, like snap weights or something like that. But it really does well with contour trolling. So if you're going to troll and you're trolling area where the bottom starts out at, let's say, 25 feet and you want to troll about 20 feet, it would be great for that. And then all of a sudden the bottom comes up to 15 feet for 100 yards. Well, all you have to do is pick up your speed just a little bit while you're trolling.
A titch.
And it picks that line right up. And that, you know, as if you're doing a snap weight, the snap weight would probably tend to hang up. You could speed up, but the reaction of the snap weight is a little bit slower. It doesn't flow like the lead core does. But we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. Let's talk about lead core. And we have at least two different thoughts about how we rig our stuff. Mm-hmm. So how I rig my lead core.
Before we get into rigging it, what size lead core you use?
Well, that's a good question. You know, lead core is one of those deals where, I don't see a lot of difference once you start getting into the higher weights. I think you can do 12 pound and be fine. I like the 18. I think that works best for most of our applications. But I know guys that go way up, you know.
And like that 27. And the
27. And I, you know, for me, it's also capacity. It's line capacity.
That's the biggest thing. Put them on a line counter reel or any right. Big spool. 18, that's what all of ours is.
Yeah, all of ours are 18
and,
too.
Yep, and yep. 18. And maybe it's just because that's what I'm used to. I've tried some of the lighter stuff, and I had to let out an ungodly amount.
Yeah.
And we had the 27 that I bought on accident, and I was like, Jesus, I only got 5 colors on my reel, and it's full. Right. Well, I probably didn't need that much to get out, so I was probably fine, but I just ripped it off, and then I put on my 18.
Right, right. And it's expensive to just rip off. I mean, if you mess up and buy the wrong one, that's like a $45, $50 lesson. So,
right. I think with that, the most important thing is, say you've got 2 rods for yourself that you're set up in your boat, and those are your lead core rods.
Right.
Just so they're the same weight.
Right.
That I think that's the biggest
thing. Absolutely.
And same color. 18,
same so, color pattern. Yep. That's the other big thing is, you know, guys, you don't have to spend a fortune on the lead core. I mean, I like the Cabela's brand.
I do too. I really do. I know we're going to get into this and how you attach your leaders to that, but I find it the easiest one to attach on the way we
sure, sure. Mm-hmm.
So, let's just focus on 18 because that's what we use.
Okay.
You guys out there, if you're using 12, it's not like, oh my God, I got to go buy 18. Use what you're comfortable with.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But so rod selection for lead core. A trolling rod, soft rod, what do you use?
Well, and that's the important, is a lot of these places now, like we've talked about in the past with the jigging rods, they're making rods specifically for lead core. We put out a video and somebody left a comment, oh, that looks like a deep sea rod. No, it's not a deep sea rod. It's a long, fairly light, very flexible, whippy lead core rod. And you do that because lead core has no stretch. And you get these fish and they whack a crankbait at 2 miles an hour on lead core. And that rod absorbs that impact. If it doesn't, it's going to tear right off and you're going to lose the fish. Yep. So you do that for several reasons. And it's not a deep sea rod. It may be big and it may look like it's big and they're long, but you don't, it's not, it's got a whippy action because it's soft. And I'll tell you what, it's awesome when you fight big fish.
Yeah, really no, ours is. Are 7.5, 8 foot rods. Yeah. I think we got a couple 8.5s.
And you can get them up 10 or 12 feet just to get them away from the boat, you know, and they work great. So, and another one that I do in a setup that I have, and I don't know if you guys have done this yet, but I use very short steelhead rods. So I use the Cabela's brand rod. It's great. It's not very expensive. And I call them my stubbies. And I have two rods set up off the back of the boat. And it again, it's a steelhead rod or for steelhead salmon fishing. But it's still whippy. It's short. And that allows me to create distance between my 8.5 foot or 9 foot rods that go off the side and my stubby rods that go off the back.
We have two stubby rods too, and both of ours we use the ugly stick. 5.5 foot ugly sticks.
Yeah, 5.5 foot ugly sticks, and we call them shorties.
Yep. Yep. So, so you throw the shorties off the back, and it works great if you haven't done it. Not only that, but rod storage for those things are amazing. They fit on the front deck of my Ranger. I can strap them down, no problem, and off you go.
Stubbies?
Yep. My stubbies fit on the Ranger. So, and then the big ones, you know, you have to lay on the side because they are longer. You break them down, stick them in the rod locker. But still, I mean, it's, you know, that's the way to go. So line, we all agree, you don't have to go expensive. Now the Suffix, more expensive, really good stuff. I really like it. But whatever you do, make sure you put the same line your reels.
I'll be honest, and I know there's probably a bunch of people out there that run the Suffix. We've done it for a couple years, and we went back to the Cabela's brand. I didn't like the way that Suffix tied on. Mm-hmm. I didn't like it.
Yeah. Well, and the reason
I like the way it ran, but I didn't like the way you could put your lead on.
Okay. Well, and there's I know why you didn't like it. And we'll get into that in a second. But as far as colors go, I definitely suggest you use the same on all yours, because then you know when I'm at green, it's four colors, and it's at four colors for all my rods.
No, you're right.
And that way you don't get confused. Yeah. Also, I suggest putting it on a line counter rod reel, because you know, you can put out colors, but sometimes you're not putting out full colors. And it really does make a difference sometimes when you're using lead core if you have out, you know, 76 feet or 79 feet of line, because it might just be that little bit deeper when you're fishing those contours.
Well, and with that, I disagree with that. That's what we have our lead set up on, is line corner reels, but I very rarely pay attention to the feet, and only because those counters can vary from reel to reel.
And they can
be off.
They
and
can.
To where if I've got those colors going, and a lot of times, you know, we'll get pretty precise with, you know, maybe it's 3.5 colors out or 3.5 colors with the next color touching the water or right on your rod tip. You know, once you dial that in, because you will dial it in that close, then you can replicate it the same.
Sure.
So now we're doing the same thing. You're really paying attention to your line. I mean, your line counter, what that number says.
Right.
You want to be within a foot or two.
Right.
And me and Mitch, like if my next color is blue, I got yellow out, and then blue's my next color. Uh-huh. Well, when blue is about 8 inches from after the rod tip, and that's where we've picked up fish, my next one, that blue is going to be 8 inches past the rod tip. So it's accomplishing the same thing.
It is.
So well, if you don't have a line counter reel, you don't need to go buy one. If you have one, it does work good, though.
You don't. And I don't know about you guys, but like I tried to buy all the same reels. And when you put the same line, same reels, then you tend not to have that issue of it being off. So
now one of the reasons we probably did that, too, is we got two different sets of reels. For our regular trolling reels, we have a Daiwa. It's a really good reel. For our lead core, because it's just an inexpensive package. You can go get the Cabela's Depth Master 2s and 3s now for, and when you get them in the winter too, you can get the big reel and that 7.5, 8 foot rod, that Eagle Claw rod, that I think it's an Eagle Claw.
The Eagle Claw rods are really good. Mm-hmm.
But you can pick those up for $60-$70.
Right.
I mean, but the problem with the Depth Master is they reel fine, the drags work fine, but the line counter does not work. It doesn't release. You push the button in and re-zero it. And sometimes you let out line and it doesn't go.
And then they're perfect lead core rods.
That's probably why we've got into the habit, too, of just watching color, the colors.
Right.
Because we can't trust that line counter. On our Daiwas, we can. But we have a little bit smaller Daiwas, so we use that just for trolling.
Right.
We'll talk about that again. Yep. So we got the rod selection. We got the reels.
We got the reels. We got the line. And so now what do you use for leader?
25-foot leads.
Okay, 25-foot. And I use 10. Anything more than 10... to me is a waste. I mean, you're trolling, the fish aren't going to see it anyways. And I know there's several different ways to tie to the lead.
So here's the reason why we do 25-foot leads, because once we get down to about 10-foot leads, we retie. And the reason is if we're fishing stuff, it's a time thing for us. And it's a little bit different the way you tie on your leads, because we do a direct tie into our lead core. We want a little bit longer lead, because if you get hung up and break off on that mono, or we're using an XT, or sometimes we've used fluorocarbon, but that's kind of slippery when you're trying to do the knot that we're talking about. So normally we use a 10-pound XT.
That's all I use. The same mono I use on my trolling rods. I just use what's left, and I'll even strip it off the trolling rod and stick it.
Yeah, yeah, I've done the same thing.
But so because that lead is 18 pounds, if you're having a 10-pound leader that's 25 feet, we're going to break off sooner or later.
Right.
And because we tie on different than you, it's a pain in the ass out on the water to retie that knot.
Right.
We've had to do it. You have to do it. But so if you break off, now you're at an 18-foot lead.
Right.
And then the next time you're at a 14-foot. Once we get to that 10-foot, now we got
to
redo
it. So why don't you describe how you guys tie onto your mono leader to your lead?
Well, we do a thing called a Smith knot. Uh-huh. And I don't think we have done a video on a Smith knot. I think
you did one,
I think we have one out on YouTube. If not, we'll look at it. And you can find it on YouTube. But what it is if you have the Cabela's 18 pound, you'll take about 8 inches of the lead that's inside it, and you'll slide the sheath back on
the nylon cover.
Yeah. Right, the color.
Yeah,
the
you
color
slide that back sheath. and you pull out about 8 inches or so, 6-8 inches of lead. You don't have to be super precise, and you break that off. So now you just have that sheath.
Or basically a tube of the nylon line.
Right. Yeah. So then you do you have your 25-foot lead. We use the Trilene XT, the 10-pound XT.
Yep.
And you'll take that Trilene XT, and I like to cut it with clippers, not my teeth. I do teeth a lot, but that smashes it out wide.
And so it gets hard to slide in there.
Yeah, if you get a clipper and you clip it, it's a nice, smooth cut, and you can actually slide it right in the hole where that lead came out. Now you can slide right in the hole, that 8 inches. Right. Once you have that eight inches, then down towards the bottom or where the nylon, I call it nylon, I don't even know what it is, but whatever.
It's nylon.
I think it is. Wherever the nylon meets the mono, go back about an inch, and you just do an overhand knot. You overhand knot that XT over.
Right.
Over the sheath.
Yeah.
And just do an overhand knot and pull it tight. Or run the line all the way through. Of course, you need to have that 25-foot lead.
Do you do two overhand knots, or do you just do the one?
Just the one.
Just the one.
Okay. So the way I was taught is you do one at the top and then one again another inch or two down below. Mm-hmm. You just do the two because, like you guys talked about, sometimes it seems like it gets slick or there's something goofy and it could pull through.
You know, kind of doing it more the last couple of years, this knot, and really testing it, because I've heard a lot of people don't like it because they've had it slip and this and that. Well, we did. We had issues when we were trying to use fluorocarbon. Yeah. I think it's just that harder line, you know, stiffer, it's slicker. You know, there's no, it doesn't, you know, form or out.
It doesn't mash down.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think the whole key with that knot, and I love it, I'm never switching because I'm sold on it, but it's making sure that you get the mono beyond where the overhand knot's going to be on the lead core, the hole where you tie it up, and then you cinch it down super tight. And on that mono, you bet it'll squeeze in and compress and almost holding itself.
Right. We've caught a lot of big fish on it. And the thing that I like about it, I know you use a swivel and we'll talk about that, but the thing I like about it is it really goes through the eyelets.
It reels up in your reel.
There's never any issues with the... Right. And we've done the barrel swivel before, the really teeny ones.
Yep.
But sometimes they get hung up. I don't know.
Well, you're kind of forced to have that, you know, 10-foot or shorter leader probably when you use a swivel, just because, you know, to be able to net the fish.
Uh-huh.
So that's the other flexibility it gives us. We can run as long a leader as we want.
Sure. You know? And remember when we're talking about this stuff, guys, that... you know, people have a bunch of different reasons for running different length leaders as far as the angle the bait might dive or, you know, whatever else. I don't know how much I believe in that or what kind of effect that might have. I can tell you the way I do it is I get the smallest barrel swivel, and it has to be a barrel swivel that I can find. And I found some real small ones recently, which were great. And I tie a any kind of knot you want to tie. I will do the same thing Brad Mitch do. I'll pull the slide the sheath back. I'll take away about 6 inches or 8 inches of lead. I'll clip it out, And then I will just use the sheath, which, by the way, the nylon sheath is very strong. So you're not losing any sort of, strength when you cut out that lead. I tie the sheath onto one end of it. And then I just tie straight on a 10-pound test leader to the other one. Now, since I don't have the issues with the fluorocarbon slipping, I could use fluorocarbon if I want to, and
that,
I have.
That is a benefit.
Yeah. And but especially they also
fishing really, really clear water.
Well, and especially, and here's the other deal, is the swivel allows me to be able to, and I fish a lot of spinners. So I will use crawler harnesses behind lead core, so you don't have that, the weight system ahead of it. And I catch a lot of fish doing that, and that allows me to be able to fish those type of baits, and they can spin all they want back there, and it's not going to twist my line.
Well, yeah, I mean, in devil's advocate on that, at the end of our 25-foot lead, we put a barrel swivel in there.
And which you absolutely could, and so I just choose to keep that barrel swivel up away out of sight from the bait. I just use a quick clip right onto the loop I've already tied for the crawler harnesses, and off they go. Also, it's a very quick way to be able to switch between harnesses and crankbaits.
Yeah.
So I've had a lot of bites, especially in the spring, where I'll pick up a couple fish on spinners, and that'll die off, and I'll hurry up, switch back to crankbaits, and we'll catch a couple fish on crankbaits, and that'll die off, and we'll switch again. You do that all day, and you can bring yourself into a good finish at a tournament just by picking up two or three here and there. Mm-hmm. So I like that. I do the 10-foot. Usually, even if you have to use a barrel swivel, it's big enough to where it won't get reeled up. With a 10-foot leader, if you have an 8-foot rod, you're good to go. It hits it, and you still have a couple feet off the end. Well, that's more than you need anyway. Yeah. So for netting and everything else. So I've had a lot of success with it. I've used both. I've rigged up both. I actually get annoyed with the swivel sometimes and prefer to do it like you guys do it with the knots. It's just I just have less issues with it tangling.
Yeah.
And once that line gets tangled, it's almost ruined. I mean, it's redoing it anyway. So
it's really, I think both of them are very proficient ways to run your lead core. I think it's kind of what you get comfortable with.
Right. Right.
Try them both.
Exactly.
See what you like. I don't think there's pros and cons to both, right? And right. I think truly what fishing is a lot is how well you get comfortable, how well you master one right. thing.
And trial and error.
Yeah. Now, to get back to your point a little bit of the dive curve and stuff, whether you have a 15, a 30-foot lead, to me, I think that's a bunch of bullshit, really.
Right.
And my reasoning for that is if I'm over 25 feet of water and I'm pulling crankbaits, let's say, and I'm marking those fish at 23 feet, I'm pulling that crankbait, I'm letting either a little bit more lead out to get down there or a little less. It doesn't matter where my lead is. My lead is just to get it away from the lead.
Right.
To me, I don't notice it running, making my bait run different.
Right.
Like a little bit more mono makes it run flatter. I just don't see the precision in that. I'm sure there is. I'm sure if you had some engineer there, it changes the dive curve a little bit. But
right.
I make that adjustment by letting in a little more or bringing in a little more line. I mean,
well, and when it comes to a lot of this, especially trolling lead, it's highly you can replicate it. So if all of a sudden you're picking up fish on one rod, and say you've dialed it in and you're running all the same crankbaits, hypothetically, but one rod is getting the fish, check it out. Is that leader longer?
Right.
Is it shorter?
There might be something to it. You're right.
Exactly. And that's where, I'm not a scientist.
I play one on TV.
Yeah, I only play one on TV. But I know one thing. I'm no dummy. I'm going to make it exactly the same as the
one. Well, and that's what you should do. I mean, that is the difference between a fisherman who is aware and is watching and does it and is successful, and fishermen who kind of don't. They go out and they catch one or two, and the guys that catch 50. And they ask, how'd you catch 50? Well, I paid attention to detail. So that's absolutely great.
Yeah.
So real quick, we only have a few minutes left. Let's talk about presentation real quick and what we do in the fall with the lead core. We went into great detail on how to rig it up. Now it's up to you guys to go out there and do what you do, right? So you go out there, you troll it. We still troll around 2 miles an hour. The general rule is 5 foot of depth for every color. So every color you let out, you're supposed to be able to obtain 5 foot of depth with that. After about 30 or 35 feet, You can let out lead core until you're into the backing, and there's not a whole lot of difference unless you slow down and allow it to
just
sink.
Just the friction on the line ends up pushing it back.
Ends up pushing it back up. So that's something to keep in mind. If you're seeing fish at 50 feet of water, lead core is not going to be your choice. You're going to want to do a snap weight or something like that.
Or the three-way rig. The only way you can get that done, three-way rig, snap weight, or... Use a bait that dives has a 20-foot dive.
A giant dive.
A 20-foot dive. But it's
little ripper or something.
Well, and by all means, I've put a snap weight on lead core.
Sure.
You know, so you can do that.
Whatever weight system you use to get it down, it really is up to you. But what I find in the fall is super effective is you'll see those fish about 20 or 25 feet suspended middle of the lake under big schools of bait fish. And I think the important part to remember is you want to get your bait either right through the bait fish or just below them, depending on where the arches are. If the arches are mixed in, of course, you want it just above. But if the fish are below them, which is what we see commonly with our lakes here in the Shad, you want to get that bait running just below the bait fish.
But just above the fish.
But above the fish.
The predator.
And that's where the lead core comes in super effective because you can really dial it down. And once you get it out, like we were talking about earlier, if you're out at four colors and, you know, the next color is 8 inches off the end of the reel, you start off with the 8 and you reel it up to 4. And then you reel it up to 2. Or you let it out to 12. And then you go out to another color. Constantly... looking to see what's going to create that strike.
And then mimic it with your other rods.
And then mimic it with your other rods and just troll it. Just remember, big, long, sweeping turns, lead core, when it gets tangled, it's a disaster.
And it's really slow to react when you're turning. It really, because of that drag it has there.
Yep.
If you try making a tight turn, man, it's not going to
happen. Not going to be good either. And tune your baits. A foul-tuned bait will run it over into your other line and... it is very hard to get lead core untangled, especially after it's spun, and then you are just stripping it off. And not only is that rod, unless you have more lead core on the boat, not only is that rod not good for the rest of the day or both those rods, but now you're stopping by the store on the way home and you're spending $100 to re-spool. So, just be aware, play with it. If you're not familiar with it, then just use two rods to begin with before you throw out the four, because trust me, I get tangled two or three times a year, and I've been doing it forever, and I want to go nuts and throw the rods in the lake because it's just such a mess. So be aware that it there are some hazards to it. But
I think one of the things, too, that guys need to do, and then we'll wrap it up, is if you have a boat that has rod holders, it's very advantageous once you get that rod out to be able to put it in
the holder.
The holders.
And you want to keep that rod either level with the water or even pointed down at the water a little bit, because if you have the tip in the air, it doesn't create the distance that you need or the separation.
Yeah.
So
for the inside. And we're talking side to side.
Side to side. Yeah, one on one side of the boat, one on the other. Keep the rod tips down. That creates the more separation. You put them up, it'll suck them back in 3, 4, 5 inches. And before you know it, you got a rod runs bad and it'll run right across. So, any parting words, Mitch?
No, just get out and do it. It's a great way to fish deeper, to pull crankbaits in deeper water.
Especially through those pods of bait fish. It's awesome.
Yeah. Yep. And it's a lot of fun. And it's nothing like watching that rod tip just start to bounce because you have a fish. So,
yeah. And I know we've touched this on other podcasts, it's not just for walleye. Oh my God. It works awesome for wipers. Trout, bass.
You both catch a lot of trout,
especially junior.
Well, in catfish. I mean, I remember Mitch's catfish. Holy cow! Yeah.
So anyway, we'll leave you on that note. Hey guys, thanks for listening. Josh, any parting words?
Just like Mitch said, get out and try it. You got to practice, and it takes a lot of practice. And don't get frustrated. Keep going. Other than that, You just need to keep listening, and we'll keep giving you guys info on how to do this stuff.
Yeah, again, if you have any questions for us, make sure you get a hold of us at alleyesonfishing@gmail.com or on any of our Facebook stuff. So leave a comment. Ask us a question.
That's right.
We'll answer the best we can.
All right, guys, get on the water.
Thanks.
This has been All Eyes on Fishing. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, go ahead and subscribe to The Next Level. And you can hear longer podcasts and more information on all of your favorite topics. And check us out at alleyesonfishing.com for apparel,
blogs, and other information. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. All Eyes on Fishing, leading you to the next level.